For our Bible readings, we're going to turn first to page 201, the 27th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 9. Page 201. Let us hear God's word. Then Moses and the Levitical priests said to all Israel, "Keep silence and hear, O Israel. This day you have become the people of the Lord your God. You shall therefore obey the voice of the Lord your God, keeping his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." We shall now turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. This is on page 1046, 1046 of our church Bibles. We're going to begin reading at verse 23. Luke 10, verse 23. We listen together to this portion of God's word. Then, turning to the disciples, he, that is Jesus, said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbour as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You've answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbour?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day He took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back." Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said, "You go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated and let us turn together to the 27th chapter of the book Deuteronomy and to verses 9 and 10 in the chapter. Page 201 in our church Bible. Let us be still and let us call upon the Lord together for his blessing before we say another word. Lord, we thank you that in your word you teach us to be still and to know that you are God. Lord, you taught that through the psalmist long, long ago. You taught it through Moses. You've taught it through many down the years. Lord, we want to know you. We want to know more of your love poured into our hearts by your Spirit. We want to know you, O Lord, doing far more exceedingly abundantly than either we think or ask. We want to know your blessing. We want to know, O Lord, you drawing close and lavishing grace upon grace upon us, but not us only, Lord, upon many around about us as well. So bless us, Lord, as we meditate upon your word, and grant indeed that our love for you would burn more ardently and shine more brightly in these moments and days. For Christ Jesus, our Saviour's sake. Amen. Now let me quickly remind you that we're at that point in the book of Deuteronomy where Moses is getting the people ready to cross the Jordan River, to go from the eastern banks through the river to the western side into the land of promise. And at the beginning of this chapter, he has reminded the people that the land that they are going to occupy is, according to the promise of Almighty God, a land that is exceedingly fruitful. And they, as they walk with the Lord, are going to know more and more of the fruitfulness of it. Is that not indicated, for example, in verse 3 of this chapter? We've come to verses 9 and 10. What do these verses teach us? Oh yes, we can see that here there is an instruction. The instruction is that the people are to keep silent and they are to listen. They're to hear. they're to have their minds filled with the Word of God, focused upon the Word of God, focused upon the purposes and the promises of Almighty God. But there's two things in particular that we want to draw out from these verses. And I want to suggest to you and state that they are of profound importance when it comes to living as a man or woman of faith in any and every generation. Now, we can state these two things of importance, fundamental importance, in a very straightforward way. You see, here we discover afresh that we need to know who we are. We need to know that and remember it. And we need to live in the light of it, letting that truth, who we are, profoundly affect us. But as well as knowing who we are, we also need to know what we are to do. Or if you want to put that slightly differently, how we are to live. Now think about this for a moment, please. If you know who you are, you will feel some degree of contentment. I'm not suggesting you may be totally happy with everything about your life, but what I am suggesting is that those who don't know who they are, or as we sometimes say, those who don't know where they've come from and who don't know where they're going, those who don't know why they're here, those people invariably are a troubled people. And you can perhaps identify with what I've just tried to say from an earlier stage of your own life and experience. Knowing who you are, knowing what you are, is really important. And knowing what you're to do is important as well. Now, this challenges our generation and its way of thinking and behaving. Because at this point in history, across the world, but especially in the Western world, we can see what can be described as an aggressive individualism. What I mean by that is, we live at a time when people are basically saying, I'm who matters. What I want is what matters. How I see myself, how I experience things, what I feel, that's what matters most. And then we wonder why people are miserable. Because their feelings and their emotions are always changing. They never remain static. So it's important to know who we are in the eyes of God. But tragically, in our generation, people don't even want to recognize the existence of Almighty God. Now here is Moses speaking to these people. Moses is not alone. You can see that from verse 9, the opening words of the verse. He has with him Levites. He has with him priests who are numbered amongst the Levites. Not every Levite was a priest. Some were assistants to the priests. And we hear at the beginning of this verse that Moses, along with the Levitical priests, spoke to the people of Israel. They gave an instruction. And it's an instruction that has two parts to it, but an instruction that is in effect one. We mustn't imagine that it's two, it's one. But there's two elements to the one instruction. Keep silence and hear. Or to put that slightly differently, be silent and listen. Now that is a call that goes out from God, in fact, to all people. Clearly, at this point in time, it was a call that went out through the servants of God to the people of God there on the banks of the Jordan River as they prepared to go into the land of promise. But every single individual in this world needs to be still and listen to Almighty God. And the reason why we should do that is because we owe our existence to God in the last analysis. We get used to thinking about our mums and our dads being responsible for us. Well, of course they have responsibility for our existence, but only in the purposes and plans of Almighty God. For God is the sovereign Lord who is ruling over all things. And so it is of fundamental importance that mankind, each and every member of mankind who owes his or her existence to Almighty God, learns to be still, to be silent, and listen to what God has to say to him or her. Now, to unbelievers, God is calling them to embrace him by faith. But what does God say to believers? You see, the focus of these verses is on what God says to the people of Israel. Keep silence and hear, O Israel. This day you have become the people of the Lord your God. Just imagine for a moment, there you are, you're Joshua. He's going to have the job of leading these people into the land of promise. Moses will end his days on the eastern side of the Jordan. Just imagine, there you are as Joshua, one of Joshua's relatives. And you've just heard a message of profound importance, a message that is life transforming. That's why I call it of profound importance. What is that message? You're God's child. You belong to God. You're special to God. You're precious to God. You're loved by God. You will forever be loved by God and cared for by God. We know what happens as people grow from childhood through their teenage years and into young adulthood, as a young man or a young woman. We know that many will engage in courting in some form or other at some point or other. There's the desire for intimacy with another, for closeness to another. And we know that a young man and a young woman who fall in love with each other are thrilled when they hear the other say, "I love you. You're precious to me. You'll always be mine. I'll always love you. I'll always care for you." Well, that in effect is what God is saying here through Moses and the Levitical priest. Be still, be still. Listen, listen to this fundamentally important message. You belong to God. But how do these people come to belong to God? Is it by what they've done? Is it by their religious activities? No, no. It's by the grace of God, and by the grace of God alone. They've contributed nothing to the reception of and enjoyment of this status. It's God who purposed and planned that he would have a people for his own possession from amongst the people of mankind. And it was God who, in his sovereign choice and pleasure, laid his hand, as it were, upon Abraham and called him to leave his homeland and to travel westward to the land of promise. And it's God who gave to Abraham great and precious promises. It's God who sovereignly chose to say to Abraham, "Your descendants will be like the sand of the seashore. You can't count them. They'll be numerous." God's working out his purposes. The promises that God gave to Abraham were passed on to Isaac. Not to Ishmael, but to Isaac. The sovereign elective purposes of Almighty God. And they're passed on to Jacob and his descendants. Hear of these things. Yes, they may spend hundreds of years in captivity in Egypt, but the day comes when, according to the sovereign purpose and plan of Almighty God, they would be set free. They would come out of the land of bondage. They would be led to the Mount Sinai and hear the law of God and the word of God, and then be led through the wilderness to the land of promise. Yes, you see, the message that is given to these people before they cross the Jordan is, look, wake up to the fact. Keep to the forefront of your minds this fact. You are a people who have become implicitly, it's implied here in the statement, you have become by grace the people of the Lord your God. Yes, you see, the title Lord points to the fact that it's by grace, because that's the name of the covenant God, the God who is working out his purposes and plans here on earth amongst men and women and boys and girls like you and me. But you say this is really important that we understand this. You say it's really important to know that you're a child of God. And yes, I can see that the text of Scripture tells me that this was true for the people of Israel all those many years ago. Keep silence and hear, O Israel, this day you've become the people of the Lord your God. I'm not an Israelite. You say, I'm not a Jew. I'm a Gentile, a non-Jew. Ah, but the Israel of God is made up of the chosen people of God. And God's purpose and plan is that he'll have a people for his own possession from amongst all tribes and language groups here on earth. Isn't that something of what we see described for us in the book of Revelation? And so we see the principle that is being spelled out here is that those who are on the receiving end of God's grace must recognize, should recognize, that they are God's chosen possession. And the choice is not based upon anything they have done or anything that is within them. It's all of God's free gift, free favor, shown to undeserving sinners in Jesus Christ. You see, neither you nor I know who the elect of God are, but we do know that God has revealed he has a people for his own possession. And we also know that such come to faith through hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the very good news of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And men and women and boys and girls are being called upon day in and day out to consider who Jesus Christ is. Abraham longed for the coming of Christ. So did Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Samuel and David and countless other believers of ancient times. They longed for the appearance of the one who would save sinners from their sins. And you and I are called to consider who Jesus is. And you and I are called to be like the disciples of old, who came to that point when they said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." That's what people said. In the days when Jesus walked this earth, we would see Jesus. You read those words in John's Gospel. And you and I should be saying, who is this Jesus? Who is he? I need to discover what he taught, what he said, what he did, what he's promised, what he gives so freely to all who turn to him and rest upon him. So there's this fundamentally important truth that we need to focus our thoughts upon. We need to know who we are. You need to know, are you a real child of God? Are you an individual who's been transformed by his grace? Are you an individual who's heard the call of God to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Christ? And are you an individual who's not just heard it, but heeded it? Be still and listen, is what those people of old were taught. And we need to be still and listen to God speaking to us. And then having heard, we need to step out, calling upon him in the name that is above every name, even the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Now that's part of what we're to do. But what else are we to do? You see, in these verses, these people are told quite clearly how they are to live. And you will notice that what's said here in verses 9 and 10 is but a restatement of what has been said time and time again in the preceding 27 chapters of the book of Deuteronomy. And it's a message that we find in so many different parts of the Bible. What are we to do? Well, the key word, surely, in verse 10 is the word obey. I'm not saying that's the only word of importance in that verse. Of course it isn't. But we've got to start there. That's why I use the term key word. Now, notice at how this call to obedience is introduced. How does verse 10 begin? You shall therefore obey the voice of the Lord your God. You see, this obedience is a consequence of knowing who you are. You are a child of God. Therefore, you must live as a child of God. But how does a child of God live? Well, the answer of Scripture is, he, she obeys God. That's what's being taught here. And this is what the people are to remember as they cross the Jordan and go into the land of promise. They should be, as they make that journey and as they settle in the land, saying to themselves, this is God's gift to us. Who are we? We are his children. We are those whom he is going to care for and look after in a very special way as the years go by. Therefore, we will obey him. We will do his will. Now, if you or I or anybody is going to do God's will, what is necessary? Well, the text tells us, at least by implication, what is necessary is that we need to know God's will. And if you are going to know God's will, you have to do what's been described in verse 9. Be silent and listen. You are to listen to what? Verse 10 tells us, the voice of the Lord your God. Now think about it. These people couldn't see God. These people knew. Moses knew that no man living shall see the Lord and live. But they are to listen to God's voice. So you can't see God with the naked eye? How are they going to hear God speak? And how are they going to know that it is God who is speaking if they cannot see him? When we speak to each other, we recognize each other's voices, don't we? Once we've got to know somebody, oh, I know whose voice that is. That's my mum's voice. That's my dad's voice. That's my brother's voice. That's my best friend's voice or whatever. How can we hear the voice of God? And how can we know that it is the voice of God that we're actually listening to? Well, the answer that they knew in those days is very similar to the answer that we give in these days. God speaks through his servants. And we know that God, in his mercy and purposes, over many, many years, spoke through different servants. We have two titles for the people, in particular, that God used. Prophets, apostles, We went this morning, didn't we, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and the closing verses of that chapter. Did you notice what those verses tell us? They actually tell you and me that the very messages that the Apostle Paul was declaring were messages from God. Go and have another look at them at some point or other and see how that is implicit in what's being said there. So God has messengers. And God has messengers who share the word of God with the people. Now, of course, that's what happened in ancient times. There was nothing written down. In the earliest of days, God was speaking through Moses. God was speaking in the days of Samuel. God was speaking in the days of David and so on. But we live in a very privileged generation. We don't often appreciate it as we should. But we live at a privileged time. We've got the record of God's revelation to mankind that God wants us to have. It's written down. It's the Bible. It's the scriptures of the first part of the Bible, which we call the Old Testament, predominantly written in Hebrew, a little bit of Aramaic, and it's the scriptures of the second part of the Bible, which we often call the New Testament, written in Greek. This is the word that God has given to mankind. And if anybody is going to listen to the voice of God, they must listen to the voice of God's revelation to mankind, what he has said. That's why you see in ancient times they would often say, to the word and to the testimony. And that's why countless preachers down the generations at some point or other have said, to the word and to the testimony. Let's go to the written word of God. There we hear God speaking to us. That's why the teaching and preaching and the reading of scripture in acts of worship, in meetings of Christians, is so fundamentally important. It's right at the heart of an act of worship. I'm not doubting that we pray and we sing songs of praise and thanksgiving, but we also are still and we listen. And having heard, we praise God afresh, rejoicing in what is revealed, in what is made known to us. And what has he made known to us? Well, condensing it down to the themes of these verses, he has made known to us that his people are exceedingly precious to him. You've become this day the people of God. Therefore, obey him. Listen to his voice. Listen to all that he says. But he didn't just say that, does he? You see, the listening entails heeding as well. We have an old English word, don't we, which we don't hear used so much today as it used to be used, especially when the Authorized or King James translation was common currency amongst Christians. It's the word hearken. You see, if you are a person who hearkens, you are a person who is hearing and heeding, listening and doing, hearing and obeying. And that's what's being said here. You are to be a people who obey the voice of the Lord, keeping his commandments and his statutes. So the people of God of ancient times were being informed afresh by Moses and the Levitical priests. God has revealed to us his will. God has revealed to us the commands that we are to heed. God has revealed to us the statutes, the rules, that we, out of love for him, want to obey. You see, the motive for obedience is gratitude. And it's gratitude for the grace of Almighty God. That's what's being taught here. It's a great gospel message that we have here in Deuteronomy chapter 27. Why do I say it's a great gospel message? Well, do you remember what the Lord Jesus says? Do you remember what he says when he describes his people as his sheep? Well, he tells us what they do, and he tells us what they are. What do? They listen to his voice. They don't listen to the voice of the wolf. They don't listen to the voice of the false shepherd. They listen to the voice of Jesus Christ. And what do? They keep his commandments. He says to them, doesn't he? If you really love me, you will do my commandments. Well, that's what Moses was telling these people all those many years before to do. You know, some best part of 1,500 years before Christ walked this earth, the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, look, I'm going to be leaving you soon. I'm not going to be able to come across into the land of promise. I'm going to finish my days on the eastern side of the Jordan. But you're going to go in to possess the land that God has promised you, that God is giving to you. And there, you must listen. You must be silent and listen. And you must recognize that you're his chosen children. And you must recognize that out of gratitude for having been chosen by him, out of gratitude for having received that which you don't deserve, out of gratitude for the free gift that he bestows upon you, out of gratitude for the gift of this land, out of gratitude for his goodness to you in that land, out of gratitude that he'll never leave you nor forsake you, out of gratitude to the fact that he is going to watch over you and protect you and cause you to prosper as you walk with him here on earth, you are to obey his voice, his commandments, and his statutes. And you're to do that today and tomorrow and forevermore. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the amazing way you blessed your people in ancient times. And we thank you, Lord, that the blessings that they enjoyed point us to the blessings that you have for us in Christ Jesus our Saviour. May we be those, O loving Saviour, we beseech of you, who walk humbly and obediently with you, the Lord our God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.